Hello, hello, this is Jason E, and welcome to the Trading and Ascension podcast. While discussing topics related to personal growth, spiritual growth, and day trading, this podcast provides thought-provoking concepts and direct source energy to help us evolve as humans and professional traders, all while I'm logging my journey. On today's show, we have a special guest. We'll be chatting with Karen Curry Parker, and I'm excited because if you don't know, Karen is one of the world's top leaders in human design with 25 years of experience. And Karen, who I discovered on my personal path as a divine source of inspiration, she's a source of wisdom behind Quantum Alignment Systems, LLC. She has 17 books on Amazon, and I truly believe Karen's work is life-altering, and in her words, her and her team are building a world of sustainable, just, equitable, and abundant peace. Now, today's information, although not on the beaten path of trading, like all information on this show, can be directly implemented into your life as well as your trading business. So stay tuned. You are in for a treat, and like we hate to drive through, let's get it in. Karen, welcome to the Trading and Ascension podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. This is a little bit of a different topic than what I normally talk about.
Awesome. Well, I know we're going to bring immense value, so I'm just as excited as well. So before we get started, I want listeners to be able to follow along on a lot of these topics. So if you go to www.freehumandesignchart.com, you can get your free human design chart, and we'll tell you exactly what that is and kind of highlight some of those sections on that chart. But please, now you can pause this if you're listening, go to freehumandesignchart.com and get your free human design chart. Now, we're going to touch on some of these charts, and I want to really start with the why before we deep dive here, Karen. And I want the listeners to understand like why I'm so excited. So I've heard you say that human design has the purpose of quantum alignment. So can you explain what is quantum alignment?
Yeah. So this is probably my philosophy loosely based in a little bit of science. And that is the nature of the universe, if you will, is to be operating in unity, that there is a universal intelligence that flows through us. And the more we are aligned, meaning the more we live true to who we were born to be, the more we learn how to transcend our conditioning, move through beliefs that keep us smaller than who we are, move through beliefs that maybe keep us from connecting to our innate wisdom, the more we enter into a state of coherence. And from that state of coherence, that intelligence that is life can flow through us, and our life naturally becomes more abundant and expansive. Our ability to know what we need to know when we need to know it increases exponentially, and we are brought into relationship with an unfolding abundance and an unfolding path that supports us in fulfilling the full expression of the true story of who we really are.
Awesome. And that is all wonderful things. So who do you believe this is for? What type of seekers usually are your peers, your students, and your clients?
That's a good question, because I'll say it certainly has changed a lot. I used to have a lot of my seekers, I would say, used to be people who were in their late 40s, early 50s, who were really exploring, what's my legacy? I've done everything I should do. Now I want to do what I want to do. How do I do that? And I would say that in the last maybe 3 or 4 years, that demographic has changed quite a bit. And now I would say my seekers, if you will, are people who are really looking at, how do I live my life for myself the way that I'm supposed to? How do I work authentically? How do I contribute in a meaningful way to the things that I'm passionate about? How do I stop buying into the shoulds, if you will, that society or my family or my life has told me that I have to fulfill in order to be successful? And how do I redefine success for myself on my terms?
Okay. And I think that the next step for us is I've found a lot of definitions of human design, but how would you describe it? How would you just give a general overview of what is human design?
Okay. If we get into the nitty gritty of it, human design is a synthesis of different kinds of astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Judaic Kabbalah, little bit of quantum physics in the Chinese I Ching. So basically what it does is it synthesizes ancient and modern archetypes. So, it, you know, the way I like to describe it to my clients is that, you know, people are often going to, people will tell you, you need to find yourself, or you need to be authentic, or you need to create an authentic life. That was a big buzzword for a lot, you know, a big phrase that we tossed around for a lot of years. And, you know, it's a great concept, but if you don't have like the parts of the story, if you don't know who are the potential characters in the narrative that you're looking at rewriting, if you don't know how to define what it is to be a human and what it is to be you as a human being, if you don't have that vocabulary, then it's easy to feel really lost. And it's easy to go through that seeking, if you will, in a really sort of unstructured and loosey-goosey kind of way, where hopefully eventually you'll land on, this is who I am. But oftentimes we don't. So human design is really, it's a Rolodex, if you will. It's a Rolodex that sort of helps you explore all the little parts of the human story. And it helps you really get clear and decide, okay, these are the parts that are me. These are the parts that are mine. And so I think it's just an infinitely brilliant and very, very pragmatic tool to help you really figure out who you are. And also, you know, in hand with that, really figure out who you're not, so that you're not walking around in your life holding up a facade or trying to be someone you're not, because A, that's not fun, and B, it's exhausting to try to be who you're not.
Yeah, and that answer really resonates with me, and especially when you say you as a human, because when you're into different types of personal development, and this is, you know, somewhat of a wisdom soup, you know, based on all the factors that you said. But when you're looking at other things that aren't human design, sometimes they're surface level. And like you said, you don't exactly land, you know, where you want. You may find information, it may be outdated, but I feel like with human design, it's so deep, it's so innate that it's things that you have to learn to merge and integrate into your life. You don't outgrow them. Would you say that it's something that is that deep, and what gives it that connection to us as humans more than any other modality in personal development?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, I actually started off my coaching career using Myers-Briggs, and I like it a lot as a personality assessment system. But, you know, I think a lot of these systems, at least the way that they're used, especially I think they're used in business, is they kind of become this narrative, if you will, or this the system that categorizes people. It's like, you are this, or you are this.
Yeah.
And I think what I love about human design is that it says, this is the spectrum of who you could be. And when you're living true to yourself, here's the highest potential of this spectrum. And you can consciously, with awareness, really make choices along the way as you encounter life to bring yourself to this full expression of your potential. Or if you decide, you know, hey, I'm not going to do this work, I'm just going to keep being who I am, you know, you will be living out the shadow side, or the sort of the lower end of that spectrum. So, you know, to me, it's a very dynamic tool. It isn't just a tool that says, this is how you operate. Although that's in there, and I think it's in there in a very unique way, because it very clearly shows how you interact energetically with others. So it's going to tell you, are you empathic? You know, it's going to tell you, is it easy for you as part of the nature of your design to sometimes lose yourself in others? Are you codependent? You know, it shows you sort of where the little vulnerable pieces are in your storyline, but it also... I'm trying to, you know, I'll say as a mature woman, okay, I'm 50, almost 56 years old. You know, there comes a point in time when you have a deep intention to really live a high integrity life, that you have to learn how to make decisions that keep you in integrity, right? That support right. Really moving into the fulfillment of who you are, and also being able to show up for people, for the world, for your purpose, for your mission, for who you are, to show up in the world in a way that supports you in consciously choosing to say the right thing, to adopt the right mindset, to confront disagreements or challenges and really explore how do you become more inclusive, more, how do you become more just, how do you become more equitable, how do you become more abundant in the way that you're dealing with other people. You know, when you really understand your chart, you really understand what the choice points are for you as part of your personal curriculum and even as part of the human curriculum, if you will, so that we can consciously move towards a very aligned, very high integrity, compassionate way of being in the world.
Wow, that's wonderful. And when you say, you know, who you can be, that's exactly how you feel when you discover that. And I love that forward-facing definition. Because as a seeker on the path, you're always usually, you know, forward seeking, but it's good to have also parameters because it's easy to get lost on the personal development wheel, you know, and chasing issues and stuff. So I think human design, by your definition, really, it holds you in a space to where you can grow, but you're not chasing issues in that shadow side. So it's really cool. So you started with Myers-Briggs, and then talk about how you discovered the human design and really how it's impacted you.
Oh, it's a long and weird story. I'll try to keep it as short as possible. So I was homeschooling my four kids in the suburbs of Houston, Texas. I was really basically kind of a soccer mom. And my husband at the time, their dad, went on a spiritual retreat to Sedona, Arizona, and he came back with this really strange looking geometric chart. And he said, I got this chart when I was in Sedona, and I don't know what happened to me in that moment. I wasn't particularly woo-woo, if you will, at that moment in my life. But I saw that chart and just started to cry. Like it hit me like a lightning bolt. Like this, oh, there's wow. Here for you. So we put our house on the market. We sold the house within 2 weeks. We packed up the kids and we moved to Sedona, Arizona. Because
I love Sedona.
Yeah, I was like, I have to learn everything about this. So we got to Sedona and my youngest son had an ear infection. This all makes sense in a minute. So my youngest son had an ear infection. So I went to the pediatrician's office. I came out of the pediatrician's office, had this little kid on my hip. And at the doorway across from the pediatrician's doorway was a door that had the chart, a picture of the chart on it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm going to go in this door. So I opened the door. It was to another office. And there was a woman in the office sitting behind the desk. And she said, oh, did you come for the job? And I said, well, yes, I did. And so she hired me on the spot. And that turned out to be the international headquarters for human design in America. Wow. So I worked for them for a couple of years and got to study with the founder of the system before he passed, Ra Uruhu. And that was sort of, you know, that was the beginning and the continuation. I have never looked back since then.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And I just love Sedona. So it's no doubt that things like that can happen there. That's definitely a special place.
Things like that happen in the grocery store there. Yes.
So, I usually ask, you know, when I have traders on the show, there's usually something that happens that makes them transition from, okay, what I'm doing really benefits me to I want to impact the world. What made you just go from, you know what, I'm loving this, I'm learning from the actual originator of this information and this wisdom, and then you transitioned into your business. You know, what really prompted that?
Well, actually, I would say I had my business before. I'm technically unemployable. I think I've had a job for 6 months. I don't take orders well. I don't like following other people's stuff. So,
sounds like most traders.
Yeah, and I'm an entrepreneur. It's like I love the work that I do, and I love the business of the work that I do. So, you know, I do this, and I also own a publishing company and do a lot of work with empowering women in publishing. So, you know, I've always had my own business, and, you know, I have to honestly say I'm very unusual, I think, compared to say some of my clients. Most of my clients are, you know, cubicle escapees, and, I never could even do the cubicle. I knew from the time that I was 4 years old, I literally knew that my job on this planet was to teach love. And so I have always been on a quest for how do I bring that into the world in a grounded, pragmatic way? Because I just really believe the more we love ourselves, the more we can stop reacting and start being more conscious and deliberate. And the more we can be more deliberate, the more we can attract the elegant solutions to the challenges facing humanity, and the more we can deliberately and consciously craft those solutions without, you know, old pains and old traumas from the past, and build something completely new and completely different and completely worthy of the beautiful story that is the human story.
Yeah. And I'm thankful personally that you took that path. You know, every time there's a webinar or show, I can see you with testimonials and individuals who are really like impacted by the decisions that you made. And there's a lot of people that are listening that are wanting to be cubicle escapees. So I'm sure we all kind of resonate with your boldness in taking that path. So that's excellent. So let's go ahead and dive in. So everyone who's listening, I hope you went and got the chart. If not, go get it now. And so when you get the chart, just prints out at your website. And I do say, I must say, I've gotten charts from different areas, and this is the most thorough. A lot of times it's very, very surface, and it doesn't have nearly the amount of information that you have here. So this is a very, very in-depth chart at no cost. So I'm very thankful for that. So as I'm looking at this, the first thing I see is there's this human in the middle, and they have 9 areas around them, like triangles, squares. What is this picture in the middle of a chart?
What is it? It is a mystery. Yes. So there are 9 geometric shapes on the chart. We call those centers. If you're familiar with the Hindu chakra system, those centers correlate loosely to the 7 chakras from the Hindu chakra system. Those geometrical shapes, those centers, represent different kinds of energies. So when you look at your chart, depending on whether it's colored in or whether it's white, it's going to show you how you use those energies and how you source those energies. So just as a sort of quick example, if you look at the right-hand side of the chart, there's a big triangle that has a sort of a twin on the other side of the chart. The big triangle on the right-hand side of the chart is called the... Yes, so that's the emotional solar plexus. That's the center that's responsible for processing emotional energy. Half of us have this white on our chart. So anything that's white in the chart is actually where you're getting energy from people, from the world around you. It's places where you actually take energy in. So if you have a white emotional solar plexus, it means you feel other people's feelings. You're literally emotionally empathic. What that does is that sets you up then to have, as part of your learning curve on your own life story, kind of sets you up to have to learn how to be strong and courageous and grounded in your own needs, because it's very easy when this is white for you to change and shift what you need and want in an attempt to try to keep everybody else happy, because you don't want to feel the blowback, right? When you say no, or you have to deal with truth or conflict, you know, when you have the center white, sometimes we tend to be very conflict avoidant and we don't deal with truth, and we sometimes hide what we need and want. When you have this colored in, this is really important to know for traders. It means that it's difficult for you to make decisions in the moment, that you actually need time for clarity. And of course, you know, in a pressurized situation like trading, when you don't necessarily always have the time to wait, you know, you have to understand the nature of your emotional energy and how to connect to your emotional truth when the center is colored in. That also means you have your own variability in your emotional energy with that.
Awesome. Very powerful. And on the left and right side of this chart here, there's 2 columns. Let's start on the left. It's red. It says body. What is that column about?
Okay. So there are red numbers and black numbers on the chart, and those actually correlate to red and black lines on the actual body graph itself, on the actual picture of the human. So the red numbers are numbers that actually correlate to your life purpose. So I call this your life purpose code. On the chart, it says body, but it's really the code for your life purpose. The black numbers on the right-hand side correlate to what we call your soul purpose or your soul code. So your entire chart is comprised of these 2 codes, your soul code and your life code. And your whole life story is really kind of the unfolding of the dynamics between your soul's purpose and your life purpose, which, by the way, doesn't always match up, which is kind of the fun part of being human. What that really means is that it's actually built into our story, each individual story, that we have to wrestle with ourselves. We have parts of ourselves where we are at conflict with ourselves, and it's from finding a resolution for those inner places where we wrestle with ourselves that we actually cultivate wisdom and maturity, and from those struggles grow and actually grow in our ability to give back to the world in a meaningful way.
Wow. Yeah, I love that kind of that wrestling. That definitely is the human experience. And so that's awesome. On the left side, so let's just go over here. And not all of these. I think there are probably three or four that are worth touching on. On mm-hmm. the left side, it's going to have our personal information. And then under that, it's going to say type. What is a type in human design?
So in human design, there are five types. Those are sometimes you'll hear them referred to as energy types. Each type has a different decision-making strategy, which is, you know, that's really the beautiful hack about human design is it teaches you how do you make good decisions. So each type has a different decision-making strategy. Each type has a little bit of a different purpose. Each type has a different path for working. So your type will tell you a lot about how you work, how you best can work in the world so that you sustain your energy and you don't burn out. It tells you a lot about your relationship style. It tells you a lot about your communication style. You know, type is sort of paramount. It's kind of the big foundational piece of human design. And just living true to your specific type can actually create an enormous amount of benefit in your life, even if you don't ever study any of the other deeper stuff.
Excellent. I've definitely gained a lot of wisdom that I could apply to trading in my life from the type section. After type, I see authority. Just a little bit about the wisdom we find in the authority section.
So authority is actually a little bit of a complex part of the chart. So authority is an aspect in the chart that's going to influence how your type operates. So going back to what I talked about with the emotional solar plexus and that empathy center, you know, for those people who have that center open, it means they're here to be spontaneous. If you have the center colored in, it means you have what's called emotional authority, which basically means you're not best suited to being spontaneous with your decision making. You have to be able to step into a place where you give yourself time to feel your way into whether a decision feels right or not. So you need time for clarity, and you're not really going to be good at snap decisions, which doesn't mean you can't. That teaches you how you have to work with snap decisions based on the way your authority works. So your authority is going to influence your decision making quite significantly.
Gotcha. And decision making is a huge part of trading. So you guys might want to underline that section there for a deeper dive. And then I think the last section here that really I hear a lot about it, and it's kind of I won't say the surface level, but it's the most available information that's out there before you take deeper dives. And it's the profile. What is the profile in human design?
So there are 12 profiles in human design. And your profile is basically a number. It looks like a fraction. It has two numbers in it, what we call a conscious and unconscious number. Your profile tells you a lot about your learning style. It tells you a lot about, in some cases, where you are in terms of life cycles. Some profiles have different life cycles. So knowing your age and your profile tells you where you are in your life cycle. It tells you, again, about relationship style. It tells you really at the core what you need to have in place to feel stable and grounded, again, bringing it back to decision making so that you can make good decisions. So, for example, somebody who has a 2 in their profile has a deep need for integration. So if you're going to learn about trading, for example, you have to take time to really integrate what you've learned so that when the time is right, you can then be called out or you can draw on that integrated knowledge. And you have to have that in place first for you to feel confident to actually say, give yourself permission to full on become a day trader.
Awesome. And so I'm going to jump down to one last section here on the chart, and it's channels, and it's kind of sitting alone and it's in bold. What is that channel section there?
So when you look at your chart, if you have colored in lines that connect the centers, those are called channels. Each channel is comprised of 2 gates. So the gates correlate directly to the 64 hexagrams for the Chinese I Ching. And it just tells you themes in the chart. And depending on where you run the software, those names or those themes will be different. Just because different softwares run with different language. But really, it just illuminates really primary themes that are part of what I like to call your soul curriculum in your chart. what you're here to learn.
Excellent. And so I am a generator, and one of the first things that I saw in the generator information was that my, and you'll have to correct me on the term I'm using here, but I guess my challenge is frustration. And by knowing that, I was empowered because I knew out of the gamut of emotions what I could look for and really hone in on to know when I'm not like aligned with who I should be. Would you say that that challenge or the whatever the proper word is that a huge starting point for individuals?
I think that's probably the best starting point. So every type, so as we said, there are five types. Every type has what's called an emotional theme or a challenge. And that emotional theme is something that's going to play out in your life all the time. As a generator type, you're never not going to experience frustration as part of your theme. It's a signal. It's communicating to you. It's telling you how aligned or misaligned are you with the next step in your growth. So when you feel frustrated, that frustration is telling you, hey, I'm starting to outgrow where I am. I'm starting to feel like there's got to be more. I'm starting to feel, I'm starting to feel like it doesn't quite fit for me here. Like there's something else that I need, or it's not working out the way that I thought. And that frustration actually is it's unique. Everybody's emotional theme is unique to their type. You know, for the generators have a tendency to sit on plateaus, meaning as a generator, you have a tendency to have experiences where you'll have huge surges in growth. So let's put this back into trading. Maybe when you first learned about trading, you had this huge surge in mastery in the beginning. You were like, I got this. I'm figuring this out. And at a certain point, maybe you hit a plateau.
Definitely. And maybe
everything you were trying wasn't really working. Maybe you were not really having the results that you hoped. You were applying the same formula, but it wasn't like, you know, you got stuck, which is a common thing generators say. That plateau is where you hit frustration. And that's actually normal. You're going to hit frustration. As I said, it's always going to be a part of your life. The trick is, and this is the trick, is knowing how to interpret it. That frustration says, hey, you're coming to the end of a cycle. You're about to go through, I'll use your words, an ascension cycle, right? You're getting ready to grow. And you're feeling frustrated because you've outgrown where you are. The trick is to not quit. And that's the piece that most generators have to really learn, because what happens is if you sit with it long enough and you learn how to manage that frustration instead of going, oh, this isn't working and going on to the next thing. If you sit with the frustration long enough, life sort of reveals to you where the next right step is, and you get an opportunity through, you know, paying attention to what's showing up for you, staying in a state of curiosity, you get answers to what's next. And of course, whatever comes next is exciting. It's delicious. You get that inner knowingness of like, oh, that's what I need to do next. And then you have another surge, if you will, in your mastery, and then you'll hit another plateau. So the trick for the generator types is learning how to be with the frustration, to see it for what it is, to not quit unless it's appropriate to quit, but to not quit, but to hang with it long enough to know that that frustration is actually a symptom of growth and momentum, and to really let yourself be with it long enough for the next step to reveal itself.
Yeah. And you hit the nail on the head there, because that's the exact place I was at when I found your information and watching your Alchemist video. It gave me recognition, and I was like, okay, I'm on a plateau. I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to not quit. So it's extremely powerful. And so that's the challenge, and that's the type. What would you say? And it may just be that place, but I just want to ask in general, someone who wants to get on the path, and for lack of better terms, let's just say the path to a happy life, enjoying life more, where's a good place to start? If not there, or maybe it could be there. For moving toward a more happy life with the HD information, where should they get on the path at?
Well, I think for all of its complexity, as we were sort of talking about, knowing your type is probably the first step that I would say is to take to bring you to that beginning of that happiness ascension curve. As I said, each type has a different decision-making process. So for you as a generator, your decision-making process is to engage with the world with curiosity, to pay attention to what shows up in your life, and to follow the things that turn you on and excite you. And if they don't turn you on and excite you, even though your mind might be saying, well, you should do this, or you should study this, or your mom said you should do this, you know, to not really listen to that part and to let yourself drop into that sort of gut level knowing of, this, I don't know why this is right. I know my mind is screaming that my body is saying this is amazing, but I'm going to let myself follow that inner knowingness, that deeper alignment. And when you do that as a generator type or an alchemist type, then you start to break yourself free from those past patterns of conditioning that cause you to be so reasonable that you reason your way into a tiny box that feels miserable. Each of one of those types, the manifestor, which is one of the types, the generator, the manifesting generator, the projector, the reflector, we call them initiators, alchemists, time benders, calibrators, and orchestrators. You know, each type has a different way of making decision. And when you understand your way of making decisions, it allows you to start shedding and dropping away all those things you've put into your life because you didn't really know how your decision-making process works. And because maybe you let your mind tell you what you should do, or your guilt or your shame or your lack of connection to your authentic self caused you to think it was not okay for you to really follow your inner knowingness. And you drop into this different place of gut level knowing. And it's pretty magical. It is really pretty magical. You know, as I said, I think when you're living more true to yourself and just by doing something as simple as making decisions in the way that's right for you, you really do put yourself into this receptive state of letting life's intelligence flow through you and create this coherent alignment with what is the next right step for you. And sometimes in the beginning, that next right step is letting go of some things in your life that maybe aren't there for your greater good. Sometimes it means, you know, shedding old stuff. And oftentimes it means starting to move yourself towards what it is that you really want. And, you know, I will say there's a certain amount of magic with that. It's, you know, it certainly is a very powerful way to learn about, you know, the benevolence of what's available to you when you let it come through.
Yeah, that definitely is magical. And so in trading, and the listeners know, so in trading, there is a 85 to 95% failure rate in this profession. And a lot of it comes down to you learn what to do, and it's about the execution. And the execution is firmly based on beliefs. I've heard you, Karen, say a few times that you can increase your personal value, and that helps with beliefs, and it makes the improbable possible. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit more, please?
Oh, this is my big thing. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So totally. So, you know, I actually did a TEDx talk on this too. You know, we are designed to create from a sense of enoughness, meaning we are designed to, when we have a high, strong sense of our own value, create a life that matches our value. So when we know our value, when we stand in our value, when we translate value into actions and choices, when we are, you know, really living true to who we are, we're in a state of integrity. And that state of integrity increases our physical well-being. It actually increases our material well-being. It creates places and opportunities for us to be authentic in expressing who we are. It creates moral integrity. It creates energetic integrity. And when we're, you know, when we're occupying that value piece, you know, we start to create an energy field that is rooted in integrity and rooted in our value. And our life begins to reflect that sense of value. You know, if you are walking into, say, a trading situation and you have the data in your head, these are the things I should do, right? You've taken courses or training or whatever you've done, and you right. know the mechanics of it, right?
Right.
But if unconsciously you don't think you're worthy of success, or you don't think you're worthy of, maybe your friends all said, oh, that'll never work. You should just go get a real job, right? So maybe that's affected your self-worth. Whatever that unconscious tape that you have that's running in the back of your head is saying about your value, it's actually going to affect your decision-making. So if you're like in the moment, ready to make the right decision, and you feel it and you know it's right because your brain is telling you this is what we learned about in class, right? But then you have this unconscious program that says, yeah, but it'll work. And if it works, you're going to be successful. And if it's successful, you know, what, how could you possibly be successful? You're not worthy of success. If that's your tape that's running, you'll sabotage that decision. You won't make it, or you'll do something else that'll cause you to blow it, because your thermostat, if you will, is set to a specific point of value. And really, you know, in the most linear way, your material value, your money, the money you make, or the numbers you move on the screen, because it's not always money, right? The numbers you move on the screen are going to be a reflection or a mirror of your own sense of self-worth, your own value.
Wow, that is powerful. And I know that, you know, traders listening and understanding exactly what you're saying there. So keeping the theme of kind of just markers on where to get on the path based on the trading journey, when you aren't feeling supported, when we aren't feeling that we're living an abundant life, where should we look? Where in the human design wisdom is a good place to start on that path?
Oh, you know, that now we're going to get serious, right? Okay. So what the chart shows us is that the number one place for, well, there's two things to look at in terms of creating an awareness of support. The first one is, and it's obvious and pretty simple, but we don't like it because it's simple. And the first one is, we're designed to be grateful for what we have and to notice those places where things are working, where yes, there is abundance. And in fact, gratitude is an essential component to innovation. If we want to really innovate, we can't innovate without gratitude. Because if we're innovating without gratitude, we're basically burning everything down and starting over and over and over and over. And we won't actually grow. We just get to a certain point and then we wilt. The second component is, and again, this is not a huge tangible one, but, you know, paramount in the creative process, especially, is faith. Faith is a muscle. It's a skill set. And if you want to step into that sense of being supported, you know, to a certain degree, the only way to learn it is to leap and to trust that if you take that leap that, you know, 10,000 angels will carry you to the other side. And, you know, you don't learn faith if you don't practice it. And, you know, that's hard. It's hard and it's intangible and it's fluffy and we don't like it because we want something that's a little bit more quote unquote realistic, but faith is the place that we have to start.
Yeah. And that's two great answers. And I feel like right here, we should go just one step deeper, because if someone isn't feeling supported and they're not living abundant, I totally agree. Gratitude is a great place to start. And it's been huge just in even the last few months in helping me grow leaps and bounds. For someone who recognizes, okay, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not feeling like I'm supported by the universe. I want to start with gratitude. What would you suggest? What would be a gratitude practice they can wake up tomorrow morning and do? Just kind of a, you know, something simple to bring up the feeling, or even just, you know, writing down gratitude. What would you suggest?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is there's so much, right? You know, I would say that just take stock of what you have. And this is going to sound terrible. So, but there's a purpose for this. So roll with me all the way through it.
Okay.
If you can't figure out what you have in your life that's good, start looking around you to see what other people have. You know, I think sometimes, and this isn't to be like, well, I have this and they don't. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take stock of where you're at, because it'll eventually inspire you to go back and lift others up, because I think that's inherent in our nature. In fact, the chart shows that we are designed to be compassionate, that compassion gives us direction in life. But sometimes, you know, we need that reality check. You know, we are. As a baseline, and I'm not saying there aren't, you know, unfortunate and really tragic variations from that baseline in America, at least, but as a rule, as a people, as Americans on this planet, we are pretty abundant. And
sure,
you know, to sit here, you know, to really get, you know, completely base with it and say, oh, okay, I have a roof over my head. I have food in my refrigerator. I'm watching the world through this magical machine that, you know, connects me electronically through an invisible force field with people all over the world. And I can send a picture of my baby to my mother in half a second flat. I don't have to get in a Conestoga wagon and drive across the country for months to get to the other side. I can,
right.
There's so much. So I would certainly start there. That's a very simple practice, you know, and I think, I also suggest, you know, keep it simple, really keep it simple. And it might be something as simple as I can get out of my chair and walk, because there are people who can't. And that's an incredible gift to have a body that functions well, that's healthy and vital. Certainly we've learned that this year, if we haven't learned anything else, right?
Right. Yeah, that is phenomenal advice. And I feel like it's true, you know, from personal experience. There were times where I didn't feel abundant, and I would just look for examples of abundance in my life. And I felt like if I was in the proximity of blessings, then it meant something good for me. So just finding those examples anywhere in your reality is powerful. So everyone out there, I hope you were writing that down there. I would be kind of not doing my due diligence if I didn't mention money markers, because I know every trader's ears are going to perk up when they see that video on your YouTube channel. Can you just in general just talk about what are money markers?
So what I think there are a couple of different ways that I like to sort of unpack a chart. Obviously, people have their personal chart and their personal chart assessment, and that is a very unique thing, which will tell each person what is your path to tapping into your flow of abundance. And I think that's a unique thing that I really encourage people to get a reading for, you know, having somebody really sit down and walk you through that and really flesh out for you. This is your strategy for making, you know, sustainable choices around support and finances in particular, and work, because oftentimes there's a relationship between work and money. But in general, especially when we talk about money markers in the chart, you know, really what I'm talking about in that video is that the chart itself shows us that we're designed to be abundant. And of course, we translate abundance in the material world as money. So we're designed to have money, all of us. If we look at the chart as just a general template for the human story, we're designed to have money. And what we see in the chart is that the source of money isn't work. In fact, there's only one gate in the working energy center, the energy center that's responsible for work, that has money associated with it. And the way in which we tap into money from that particular gate or with that particular energy is through responding to what shows up in our life. So we follow cues and clues. Basically following, you know, an unfolding of a financial red carpet. And it's not through our sheer will or through our pushing or through our hustle even. The chart shows that we're designed to be supported because we exist, and that our value is inherent in our existence. And the measurement of that value is unilateral, and nobody is more or less valuable because of money or any of those material metrics. And I'll tell you, and I already talked about this, that the other place where money happens in the chart is through faith. Trusting, learning to trust through practice that because you are enough and because you are inherently valuable, you are worthy of receiving all the support that you need to fulfill the story of who you are in this lifetime. And it's mind-blowing, really, to me, when I think about how much of our culture is constructed around money as a metric of personal value. Like we measure humans by how, you know, the value of humans by how much money they have. Right. And this whole culture that we have around, you know, you want to make money, get a job. You want to make more money, work harder. Well, that what the chart shows is that's actually a mythology. And I actually think it's a mythology that's starting to actually come apart in our regular society. People are starting to feel like, hey, there's got to be more. I actually think, you know, this is June 2021, you know, that this year of and a half of COVID, I think has raised a lot more questions for people around this. Like, what, you know, how do I move into a fulfillment of my support without working at a job that I hate and compromising the things that are precious to me in a job? And, you know, I think people are really looking for how do we create streams of revenue in ways that don't cause us to compromise our value or to feel devalued in the marketplace.
Yeah. And that's extremely powerful, because I think, like you said, everyone's awakening to it and they're coming to that realization of exactly what you said, that this outcome isn't reached through pushing. It's not reached through hustle. And in trading, some of the outcomes, and it comes from the mental focus, but also the pushing and the hustling, is burnout. And it's very typical in this business. What would you say the human design perspective on, and maybe possible causes of burnout would be?
Oh, okay. And again, I literally did a whole TED talk on burnout, and looked at it through the lens of human design. So,
nice.
You know, first of all, I would say the primary source of burnout, and burnout is an epidemic in this country. You know, 65% of employees report themselves as being burned out. 85% of people in general in the United States report themselves as being burned out. And burnout, you know, creates billions of dollars of healthcare costs. You know, it's a horrible problem. And I think that one of the primary sources of burnout, you know, other than the obvious, you know, bad working situations, is actually being compelled or feeling like you have no choice but to do something that isn't in alignment with who you are. If we're trying to follow a system or a protocol, if we're trying to be someone we're not, or we are told somewhere along the way, repetitively for some of us, you know, it's not okay for you to be who you are or how you are, you know, that's a micro trauma. The body literally experiences that as trauma. And when we start storing up those little micro traumas of people saying, you can't do that, you can't be that way, you can't, that's not okay, you've got to get in the box, get in the box, get over here and get in the box. You know, first of all, as I said, it costs an enormous amount of energy to actually uphold a facade of being someone that you're not. Literally, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And number two, if you're told repetitively over and over again, you can't be who you are, the body and the spirit experiences that as trauma. And of course, it also deeply impacts our self-worth. So we already talked about how when your self-worth tanks, then your value tanks, right? And your ability to create value tanks. And then you get into a situation where you're having to work harder because you can't confer the value upon yourself because your value isn't being reflected in the marketplace. And then you're deep in the hustle because you're trying to prove your value in the marketplace. It's just a no-win situation. It's as I said, it's a chronic piece. So, really recognizing that you have to heal the value piece. Sometimes you have to heal the value piece by getting off the treadmill and really, you know, taking that bold move to say, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not a reflection of who I am, and giving yourself permission to start, you know, exploring, are there other paths for me to create revenue that don't involve me, compromising who I am in the world?
Yeah. And it feels like getting out of that box, as you said, and healing, it comes down to letting things go. So I just want to hear, you know, what wisdom can you provide on deconditioning in human design? Because I feel like that's the solution there of getting out of that box, is deconditioning, moving down that chart to where you're letting things go so you can be more abundant. How is deconditioning looked at in human design?
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit of a renegade in that area. Traditional human design teaches that as long as you make decisions correctly according to your type for 7 years, you'll sort of magically portage yourself to a different expression of who you are, and you'll be more authentic.
Oh, wow.
And I think when this information was first revealed, you know, it really was revealed before a lot of science that has emerged in the last 20 years has come out. So we know now that conditioning comes from, of course, your experience as a child growing up. It comes from the, you know, being exposed to religious belief systems, educational belief systems, cultural belief systems, collective belief systems. Certainly your experience in your life will condition you. And even in some cases, in a lot of cases, traumatize you, even if it's just little micro traumas. But we also know now, because of the science of epigenetics, which is the study of protein coats that regulate the expression of DNA and influence a big part of who we are and how we respond to the world, we know that we also carry up to 14 generations of ancestral memories in our cells, and that those ancestral memories also condition us And so, you know, this is based, you know, originally on the work of a woman named, a physician named Dr. Rachel Yehuda, who studied second generation Holocaust survivors and found that the grandchildren and great grandchildren of Holocaust survivors had an unusually high rate of anxiety disorders. And of course, this was the beginning of powerful research that has really shown that we are oftentimes unwinding ourselves, not only out of our cultural and our personal programming, if you will, but also out of ancestral programming. And so, you know, the science around this, I think, is first of all, just really exploding in a really powerful way. And I certainly believe that there are adjunct things to do other than just make good decisions, especially if you feel like the trauma is really holding you back from stepping into your value. I am a big fan of energy psychology. In particular, I love the emotional freedom technique. Some of you may know that as the tapping EFT. It's actually part of what we work on. I have an integrated coaching process that we use using human design and EFT. And, you know, there is a growing body of evidence now that shows that using the tapping on the, it's a meridian acupressure point system, tapping actually deprograms the hippocampus, which is where the patterns for trauma and behavioral choices lives. It unwinds the mind and reframes the mind and actually can significantly shift epigenetic gene regulation and, you know, is a powerful tool to help decondition ourselves, our choices, our perspectives, our responses to the world.
Wow, this is truly incredible. So if someone is listening and at this point they're getting all of this wisdom and they're salivating and they've heard you mention one TED Talks, I've talked about your YouTube channel. We've also talked about, and hopefully by now they have the free human design chart from the website. You mentioned reading, and I want you to go a little further on that. Where else can they be supported, and what other ways can they be supported from the quantum alignment systems? What other ways do you provide services that can help someone really deep dive into this information and thus themselves?
Well, as you know, there's a lot of different places you could go. So I always encourage people start first with my book, Understanding Human Design. That's a good, basic, easy to follow, easy to understand way to start. If you get your chart first, get your chart and then follow along and look at the different parts of the chart through the lens of the book. I certainly, you know, I have been incredibly blessed to have trained amazing, amazing people who know how to read charts in a way that really supports you in stepping into your brilliance. If you check out our website, quantumalignmentsystem.com, you can find my specialists, people who have been trained by me on there. There's many of them. Go scroll through there and find someone to read your chart. We have, if you follow us on Instagram, it's Karen Curry Parker is our tagline, our hat, whatever you're called. I don't do that part of the business. I always get in trouble. Instagram. We have like little mini classes we do visually there.
Oh, nice.
Of course, you know, if you go to YouTube, I have a YouTube channel, Karen Curry Parker, that has, you know, hundreds of hours of videos there. Same also on Facebook, Karen Curry Parker on Facebook. If you go to the video tab on that particular page, there's, again, hundreds of hours to look at. Lots of resources there as well.
Excellent. That's great stuff. So, you know, I'm new at interviewing. Is there anything that we missed? Anything that you feel like would be great information just to close out for any trader or anyone that's just listening out there? Maybe Karen's words of wisdom.
Karen's words of wisdom. You know, I think the piece that I would say is that in a world today that is, I think, changing so quickly, and the measurement of success, I think, is changing so quickly. You know, we used to use money as a metric for success. And I think now we really are using well-being as a metric of success. How much well-being are you experiencing, and how much well-being are you creating? I think when you engage in an action and your focus is just on the money, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's authentic to you, by the way, I'm not judging that at all. Some people really, like, they get excited about money. And sometimes I see people who go into things like trading or even multi-level marketing because they're looking for a way to make money to support something else they really want to do in their lives. I just want to encourage people to not lose connection from what's really meaningful, and to be clear about why you're doing what you're doing, and to really trust that if you focus on the service piece, if you focus on the legacy piece, if you focus on the part that's really driving your heart, then the money will come. And if you get so caught up in the money, particularly if you're focusing on it as a metric of your value, or you're trying to prove something to people that you care about or who love you or who have been judging you, you're running a disaster. You're running a prescription for disaster. So focus on that place where your heart is aligned and go into the process of creating that support, that wealth, that abundance with your eye on the prize, by keeping yourself focused on the real reason why you're doing it, and don't lose connection with that heart and that legacy and that meaning and that purpose.
That is wonderful. Karen, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This has been a great conversation.
I hope this was helpful. It was super fun to create. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed, if you benefited from our time together, please share this podcast with others you care about, other traders you care about, other humans you care about. You can check out more thought-provoking talks around personal growth, spiritual growth, and day trading at tradingascension.com. Reach out to me there. I'd love to hear any feedback on the shows. I also have a free gift there for you in a PDF form to help you bounce back from any trading setbacks. One last thing, remember to be the hero of your story.